Hello, it's Soccer Cards United. Welcome back to episode 186 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason, and how are you? How's the week going? I have been seeing that there's been some midweek action in the football. There was EFL Cup, Man United, Crystal Palace. I see Bayern Munich played Preston Munster on the 26th, Tuesday. I imagine they smashed them. Probably Matthias Tell got a couple of goals on his run out in the cup. What else happened that we can talk about? Oh, last night, Wednesday night, Real Madrid played Las Palmas at home. Had to recover from their Madrid derby defeat to take all 3 points against the newly promoted Canary Islanders. So you see, we're still bang on top of things here on Soccer United, even though. Of course, I'm pre-recording this segment, and I haven't actually found out what happened in any of those things. I'm away, and so we're doing a pre-recorded Q&A series on the podcast, and this is part two of that. I hope you enjoyed Monday's part. If you were outraged or delighted by any of the stuff you heard on Monday, and you went to give us that as feedback on our usual social media channels or by YouTube comment or whatever, there is half the chance that it was seen, because Enzo's still, you know, he's still at the coalface. He's minding the shop. I may be swanning about, you know, not caring the world, you know, wherever it is I'm on holiday. But Enzo's still doing it, so he may have seen your comments. He may have responded to your comments. Heck, I may have found that I couldn't live without you guys. Gone to my phone and, what did they think of episode 185? So, yeah, so thank you for keeping Enzo company while I'm away. Have a great weekend, if I'm not talking to you before. And enjoy part two of our Q&A series. Okay, let's move on to some questions from Twitter. Do you have these in front of you, Enzo?
Yeah, I do, of course.
Do you want to read the first one?
Yeah, Cedar Hollow Cards. Are we on the cusp of a revival in prices for guys like Joao Felix and Xavi Simons? If performance equals price hike, they have to come climbing. No? I think so. I mean, I wouldn't say start buying up a load of cards, but I'm saying if you're someone who has some Joao Felix or Xavi Simons, you're definitely very happy with their performances as of late, and I guess that's kind of tied in. If you have a really cool rookie card or you know, just a nice high-numbered, low-numbered card and a premium card, then performing well can only benefit that. And I think people consistently, Jason, forget, because the hobby is new. I think people are really, really getting comfortable now with players, with leagues, with all of the concepts of it from a hobby and sport point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, because it just hasn't been enough time to kind of let it play out, is we always talk about it here, you're an advocate, Jason, the non-linear growth of football players.
Yes.
Joao Felix could now kick on and have an all-time great career, potentially, after having a very slow, like a nice start at Benfica, slow period. He could go on to be one of the best players for the next 5 years, potentially. Not saying he will, but that is, like, Luka Modric, I think, is just the best example of that. Kind of just really, really slow burn, slow burn, slow burn. And now I'm like, how is he still playing in Real Madrid's midfield?
Yeah, he's 38.
Dominating. Like, it's crazy. So I think that's, like, Joao Felix might pop off in 4 years' time. He's that young.
You know? Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Same thing. You know, he's at bloody Walsall or Leicester or wherever he was, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's like he plays. Roberto Soldado is injured. He gets put in, scores, and never stops scoring.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, like you never know
what could happen.
What's going to happen. I think these guys, like, first of all, Xavi Simons is a member of the Jude class.
Yes.
Isn't that absolutely mad?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And he's been around a good long time. He's on loan at RB Leipzig. From PSG. He was originally, I think, a PSG or Barca Academy product, then went to PSG, didn't break through at PSG, couple of loans. And he could have gone to Dortmund, apparently, who desperately, looking at them now, desperately need a bit of
creativity.
Inspiration, a bit of creativity. But Dortmund turned him down because there was no buy clause.
Yeah.
PSG just wanted a straight loan, and Dortmund were like, no, we'd like to take him, develop him, buy him, and then sell him for 100 million back to you. Mm-hmm. And PSG were like, no.
Nah, we're not good with that.
So Leipzig said, we'll take him, and that's worked out very well. I do think Joao Felix is a different case to Xavi Simons, because Xavi Simons' prices, rookie cards are not as limited as
Joao Felix's,
and prices never had as much value baked into them, I think.
Yeah, Joao Felix had a lot of value baked in because he was one of two rookies in 2017 in Chrome.
Yes.
Him and Sancho. And a lot of big Americans were really being like, ah, this Felix kid is amazing. This Felix kid. Even all the way down to Gary Vee was saying it. So that's going to really skew the price of a player. And obviously, Atletico spending 100 million or whatever it was.
Yes, completely overvalued him.
So he had to perform, kind of a thing.
Yes.
Which is like unfair on him.
And like, if you look at his numbers in terms of how well he did when he played, they're quite good.
And he has one of the coolest rookie cards around.
Yes.
Like a 2017 Topps Chrome in a Benfica kit is like the stuff of dreams.
Yeah. He has a rookie card so long ago that there's no rookie logo.
Yes.
Which is, you know, quite interesting. So I think with Xabi Simons, it's more like an unexpected bonus that he's kicking on a little bit, or he's meeting his potential a little bit. With Joao Felix, I think it's more like, I think people have had cards for a long time and are more relieved. I think Xabi Simons, you'd be like, oh, look at this. This is great. Maybe I can get some value here. And with Joao Felix, it's like, oh, thank God.
Oh, so 2018 Topps Chrome.
2018, yeah.
18-19.
I'm just going to have a look and see what Joao Felix's sales volume has been like in the last few days.
Like, for example, Jason, there's an of 25 of that rookie on eBay SGC9 for €930. Like, I'm not saying that's a good purchase, but I'm saying it's a cool card.
Yeah, if he keeps going. I mean, that's off 25.
That's what I'm saying.
That actually is a good purchase.
Actually, we recommend picking it up.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, he has cool rookies. I don't know if I've ever seen the 101 of that card, but I do believe it's out there.
But yeah, like, it's hard to know because obviously Joao Felix is... This is... We've seen him... Like, I've seen him many times at Atletico have a brilliant... three games.
A brilliant moment.
He's been in a very good moment.
When he believes in the project.
And then... and then, you know, he gets a knock or whatever.
Like, you have a nice Joao Felix in here somewhere. You could sell it.
I could sell it.
Because there is a lot of sales recently. A gold of 50 raw did €620 3 days ago.
Very healthy.
So, someone asked, like, guys, are the prices going to get an uptick? It's happening already.
Yeah.
And sure. I mean, easier for Felix because he has... not a lot of cards.
Yeah, so you can see that performance. You can kind of see those performances more easily reflected in the price.
Yeah, like, for example, this is a fun one, Jason. On Probstein on the June 27th, 2023, so in the summer, an of 25 PSA 9 orange refractor of that Topps Chrome sold for €370 on auction.
Yeah.
3 days ago, an of 50 raw, non-graded, sold for €620.
Right.
So there's your increase. If you were picking him up in the summer, he was low.
Yeah.
And now he's pretty much doubled.
Hmm. Exciting stuff.
If you were picking him up during the soccer card boom, when he had just moved to Atletico Madrid, you're down.
Yeah.
You don't make money when you sell, you make money when you buy.
Mm.
That's, I believe, Warren Buffett said that.
Wow.
There you go, Jace.
From what I understand, Warren Buffett spends most of his time just telling people little tidbits.
Yeah. Just... like, he looks like he's on death's door.
Yeah.
He's made all the money in the world and he's just kind of like...
He's trying to tell you all before he goes.
Here's how I did it.
Yeah.
Come on, be nice to people. Seems like a nice man.
Seems like a lovely fella, yeah. Okay, Cedar Hollow also asks... there's actually a couple here, right? We'll go to Cedar Hollow's next question.
Okay.
Are Union Berlin, who we saw get beaten 1-0 in the Champions League by Real Madrid after a very resolute performance... a genuine threat in the UEFA Champions League, or was their performance against Real Madrid a once-in-a-lifetime match?
I don't think it's a once-in-a-lifetime match. I think they're a decent team.
No, I've seen Union Berlin be good against loads of good teams.
But, like, are they going to win the Champions League? No.
No, but I mean,
What standard are you holding to that?
What's a genuine threat?
Yeah, like, what's a once-in-a-lifetime performance? Like, they just, you know, just lost 1-0. Like, they didn't get trampled. That's not...
Yeah, and it wasn't like, for a lot of that game, it wasn't as if they were, like, under the cosh. They had an experience away at the Bernabeu that a lot of teams have at the Bernabeu, you know? Yeah. There's no shame in it. They're in a group with Braga, Napoli, and Real Madrid. I could easily see them taking points off Napoli and Braga.
Yeah, they could get out of the group, I would say.
Yeah, but I think for them, the achievement is...
being here.
Being there and...
not getting smashed.
Not getting smashed, yeah. Okay, will Man United bounce back or are they doomed to mediocrity? We've got a few Man United questions in from the people. We talked about Manchester United on the last episode. I do think that they're certainly bound by mediocrity for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And like, does that impact Garnacho's prices? I don't know.
Yeah, that's.
But don't. Yeah, they've been in a moment. Their project is not. I don't believe in their project.
No,
they've been in a moment for like a decade now. They're just in a very bad period right now.
Yeah, will they bounce back? I don't think I think bounce is probably too. Bounce implies a kind of a.
That they have a fire in them and they can actually kick on.
Quickness, yeah.
Yeah, no, it'll be a slow burn. I think Man United essentially just need their owners to leave because they're fucking up the whole club. And until that happens and they actually have a long-term plan with actual investment in key areas, they're just going to be bound to the mediocrity we're seeing. And it's going to be frustrating because there's always such a big expectation on them because they are a huge club.
Yeah, I think it's less like bouncing back and more like trying to turn a big ship around.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
gonna take a long time, and they keep trying to do it, and like they've revitalized their club 7 times over by just signing £100 million players. But that's, there's something else wrong with the club.
Yes,
know? Like whether it's Paul Pogba, and now Sancho's gonna fix it, and now Ronaldo's coming back, and
yeah, it's like you know, if you meet an asshole in the morning, you probably met an asshole. If you're meeting assholes all day, you're the asshole.
Mm.
If everybody you sign is apparently super problematic, it's you.
It's the culture of the club.
It can't possibly be everyone individually.
If every player you sign struggles to perform, especially striker, it's probably everyone behind the striker, not the striker, that's the problem.
Yes.
Whether it's Memphis Depay, who goes on, leaves, and is amazing.
Yeah.
Whether it's Cavani, who's kind of scoring, not really. Whether it's Ronaldo, who obviously already, people are like, he's too old, but like, no one else prior to him did anything.
Yeah.
Like, they could have signed Harry Kane, and I don't think it would have changed their club at all, because there's no service to their striker, regardless of who's up front.
Yeah, and I think just generally, it just hasn't worked out. I mean, they have Erik ten Hag in there. They brought him in. He's a disciplinarian. They backed him over the Ronaldo thing. I think they had to, because there's no point in hiring him otherwise.
Yeah.
They backed him over the Sancho thing recently.
I love that was one of our big success stories on this podcast, was saying Sancho's not, as soon as he moves to United, sell then. That's the time to sell. Don't hold him and expect him to light it up. And a lot of people said the contrary. They said, he's brilliant. And
yeah.
We said it from the rump. Like, if he moves from Dortmund to United,
sell.
Because every summer, he comes back unfit.
Yeah.
That's the knowledge.
Also, Cedar Hall of Cards wants to know, speaking of Man United being bad, how are Chelsea as bad as they are?
Todd Bowley took over and just signed everyone, and there's a lot of disruption at that club.
Yeah, you can't sign that many players
and be good.
I think they've got Poch in now. He keeps saying he wants a small squad, and they keep signing new players. He keeps saying he wants a full preseason with his players, and they kept signing players throughout preseason. They've also had, which I think as well, this kind of goes back to what I was saying about United. I can't remember what match it was. One sec.
I don't believe in the project.
There's no belief in the project. Was it Bournemouth? No, I think it was Forest. Yeah, if you look at the subs list for the Nottingham Forest game or the Bournemouth game recently, a lot of academy players, and you're going, how can you have signed so many players and still need so many players? At one point, I think they had 12 or 14 senior team players out on injury. And do you know what really annoys me in the football world?
Yeah.
The phrase unlucky with injuries.
Hmm.
They've been very unlucky with injuries. If you have 12 players out with injuries, that's not luck. That's just poor player care.
Something's going wrong.
You're either signing injury-prone players at a higher than acceptable rate, or you're injuring your players at a higher than acceptable rate.
Your training is not up to scratch.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
You can't be unlucky with injuries morning, noon, and night.
Yeah, with like the same type of injury.
Yeah. Oh, he's out with a knock, and he's out with a knock, and he's out with a knock, and he's out with a knock. Knocking them.
What's happening?
What's going on?
Let them rest.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's...
Stretch before you run.
We've been unlucky with injuries. It's like, okay, sometimes you're unlucky with injuries.
That can happen when you get a bash in a game and, you know, there's actually unlucky injuries taking place.
Or he gets injured on international duty and then he does in training and all of a sudden you have 3 or 4 injuries.
Yeah.
That's fine.
When you have 12, you have something that you need to assess.
There's a systematic issue here.
Yeah.
Or a systemic issue.
It happened for Arsenal for many years.
Yeah.
The players were always injured, and it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's the medical staff doing?
So I think Chelsea have just... They're as bad as they are because...
But like, if you're unlucky with injuries and you still have a full 11, you have too many players.
Yeah.
Hi.
I also think this thing of signing young players is something that Todd Bowley has brought in from, I think, his time at the Dodgers, as owner of the Dodgers. It's this baseball contract thing of signing prospects.
For 9 years.
You buy them, you sign them for 9 years, you sell them in year four for a profit, and you're up. And that doesn't really work, again, because things are so non-linear in football. So it's not like...
Chelsea aren't a selling club.
Soccer's not the S&P 500, you know? It's not like you put it in, you, okay, that'll rise up. And
did you get that from Warren Buffett?
Yeah, I think I asked Warren Buffett why Chelsea were bad as they were, and he told me, well, it's not the S&P 500, son. Okay.
He would call you son.
He would call me son.
Well, son, that's a good question.
Well, son, I certainly think Todd has a lot of good ideas, but it's not the S&P 500, giggles. All right, Justin Block. Oh, this is kind of controversial. Okay. You read this.
Could we see a surprising new low in Messi auto values by this time next year? Assuming he's in Topps MLS products, plus other Topps X Panini checklists in older kits, is there such thing as too many Messi autos? Not if his brother keeps signing.
So this is a controversial opinion.
I mean, I don't really know. Like, I mean, Panini, I would say, Jason, could shit the bed. If they're going out swinging and they decide they're going to kill the Lionel Messi GOAT market a little bit. But, like, Topps have had Messi autographs for a long time in the Champions League. And they release a lot of Champions League products. And they have not flooded the market with them, I don't think. So, obviously, they want to have them in the MLS to really push that product, which is cool.
Especially, I mean, that's kind of like, that's a danger, I would say. They really need to push the MLS products.
Yeah, so they might go crazy.
Yeah.
But, like, will they? I mean, they have the option now, potentially, to do some dual autographs with maybe Busquets or a triple with Alba if they have, I don't know, they don't have them as signees at the moment, I don't think, but maybe they can get them. Yeah, they really need to push it. How do you push it? Because if it's super short print chase, that's fun, but then also people look at that and go, there's only six autos, I'm not going to bother, you know. So it is a bit of a struggle, because now they have them potentially. I think it seems that they're able to use Ronaldo now that he's in Saudi Arabia. They're able to use him under the Champions League license in whatever kit they want now that he's not at a European club. And I assume Messi is the same. They can do PSG and Barca probably now that he's in MLS.
I don't know if did Ronaldo negotiate that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Personally, we don't know.
We don't know that to be the case. Because normally you need legend autographs if you want. So maybe there's just an independent deal with Ronaldo. Now they get to use him in whatever kit. And you assume Messi might be the same. Or they might just use him in MLS, which would be interesting.
I would personally like to see him just used in MLS.
But would you not want them in all the Champions League product? Like, why not?
Because I think we have enough.
Yeah, it is a weird thing where it's like you don't want Messi autographs every single year in every single Champions League product, because then there's so many of them. But at the same time,
I'm afraid of the situation that Justin is
discussing,
which is, I don't really want Inter Miami and Barcelona and PSG and all these autos coming out in the same year.
I know. I get it. At the same time, I want the best product, the best signees in every product to chase.
Yeah.
It is. I know what you're saying. Like if you were really thinking long term, you could kind of turn the tap off of Messi autos, especially if like Panini can't do them anymore at some point, whatever.
Yeah.
If Fanatics fully had a grip on all of soccer, for example.
In the monopoly situation.
In a monopoly situation.
Yeah.
It would require a lot of due diligence, thought, strategic planning to make Messi autos super, super short print.
Yes.
Because you could do them, right? You could, let's say if Topps Chrome has six Messi autos in it, you could do that. That way, long term, you're actually increasing the secondary market value of a Messi auto.
Yes.
I feel like you can only do that if you have the monopoly, because if you don't and then your rival's making lots of autos, it defeats the purpose. But in terms of, like, if you have to get Messi to sign 10,000 autos or whatever it is, And you can make that stretch for years and years and years if you want to. If you're keeping a short print, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And there is obviously a value added to that versus, you know, flooding the market with a lot and a lot and a lot, a lot of autos. But it is something that I definitely think is tough, because at the flip side, if you see a checklist and there's only six Messi autos, you're going, oh, there's only six Messi autos, that's shite. But for me, 2017, 18, 19, Topps Chrome, yeah, 2020 as well, Topps Chrome Champions League had very, very few Messi and Ronaldo autos, and for me, it makes those autos super cool.
Yes, I feel differently about Legend autos for players that didn't have premium soccer card releases when they were playing. Like, if you give me like a Roy Keane autograph on Chrome, that's great, because that's a pure Legends auto. But if you give me like the Cristiano Ronaldo Stadium Club Real Madrid, where he's doing this, you know, he's like,
yeah, yeah, the image variation,
it's like he had premium autos in products that year. You're messing with the time. This is just pure personal preference.
Yeah,
you're messing with the timeline. You're going back, and like each year, I like the cards and the year to be aligned. So like Ronaldo already had autographs when he was playing that year. Messi already had autographs when he was playing those years. If you go back now and, like, what's the incentive for me, say, let me pick somebody, just let me look at the Chelsea lineup here. Say, like, Enzo Fernandez.
Yes.
What's the incentive for me to go out and buy an Enzo Fernandez autograph, or be excited if I hit an Enzo Fernandez autograph, if I know that when Enzo Fernandez retires or moves to Saudi Arabia, you're just going to make Enzo Fernandez autographs from this year anyway? Because, like, the cards are just a picture and an autograph. So they can be manufactured. So it's up to the manufacturer to impose meaning on them. And if you just completely go back and forth through time, all giddy because you can make Messi and Ronaldo cards from any year, you're kind of stepping on the history of it.
A little bit. I know what you're saying. I like that they're able to use iconic images, bring it to life. But I also think you run the risk of money in the waters a little bit.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Like, that Ronaldo autograph where he's like, that shouldn't really be in Chrome. It should probably be in a different set. Or a Stadium Club, whichever one it's in. It should probably be in a different set. That's a set purely based on historical moments in Champions League.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is tough. It is tough. Because on the flip side, you're opening a box of Chrome and you hit that card and you're buzzing. And it's exciting.
It's great.
The fear I have is, like, what do you do next year? Do you
That's what I'm saying.
Pick a different image, do it again. Is there just so much going on?
It's that thing where it's like, that's great. But then once you realize, once you do it once, what's to stop you doing it twice or three times or four times and so on and so forth? And like, if Messi signs until he's 80,
yeah,
it's about what the hell
paying attention to the long term.
Yeah, and kind of thinking it out,
thinking it through long term. But I get it. Like, this year they made the Chrome product so good. So, like, in that case, you can't fault
it. No, it was so strong. I understand that there's
give and take, this pull.
There's push and pull here, yeah.
Yeah, it is tough. Because from our point of view, we want all these autos and then we also don't. It's very interesting. Like, it is.
Yeah, like, you could take all these guys.
Because you could be saying, not another Carvajal auto in Chrome. And it's like, well, we had cool images of Ronaldo. You just complained about that. Like, what's your problem? But yeah, there is obviously a supply-demand thing that needs to be kind of met.
Yeah.
It needs to be really carefully adjusted.
Mm.
It's tough, but I don't know. I think the MLS Inter Miami Messis are going to do well independently. I think.
Yeah.
How many they make, I don't know what way they're going to swing it. It's going
to
be tough.
In general, the answer to the question, is there too many Messi autos, depends on, for me, is there such a thing as too many Messi autos? Hypothetically, for me, there is, because I believe that a Messi auto should have a minimum value.
Yeah.
So other people might say, no, if you can get a Messi auto for 100 quid,
Class.
Why would we not want that? And it's because I just like to have a hierarchical market.
Understood.
Asked and answered.